The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. Read from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Zechariah's father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham. Set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way, give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." The Gospel of the Lord. The constant battle that we have to wage in our spiritual lives is knowing how to speak. How to speak, when to speak, what words should we say, the tone in our voice, eye contact or lack of eye contact. The art of speech is probably about the most difficult. You might say, well, how is this related to the gospel? A lot, because Zechariah, we heard the Benedictine that we pray every morning, he opened up his mouth and he said something that was very displeasing to God, even though he was irreproachable in the eyes of God up until that moment. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll refresh your memory. When the Archangel Gabriel goes to Zechariah, Zechariah was a Jewish priest. He was offering incense, which was a unique privilege. You know, we offer Mass, but the high priest offering incense was maybe once in a lifetime. So this was a huge, huge privilege. The Archangel Gabriel appears to him, greets him, and says that his wife is going to have a child. And he doubts. And he expresses that in his speech. And he's struck dumb. He's not able to speak. Do you think he repented of that? I think all that time there was sorrow in his heart because he opened up his mouth and God really, he punished him. What would happen every time you open up your mouth when you shouldn't? You were struck dumb. Probably 90% of the type would have duct tape over our mouth, right? Maybe 95%. It's worthy of reflection. Because we all have to speak. We're not in the city of the deaf mutes here. We have to speak, but we have to learn when to speak, how to speak, what to say, the tone of voice that we have also. Because you can be saying something to your children, and it sounds like you're kind of yelling at them, kind of a high, shrill voice, no? Often it's not simply what we say, but how it's said. So let's give some rules for speech. Okay? And I'm not simply speaking by proper English grammar. Hopefully you're all very good at that, I hope. But rather, how can we speak in such a way that is pleasing to God? I'm going to say something that is very obvious to me, but maybe it's not obvious to you. The importance of meditation, good reading, and good listening, relevant radio. So it's the importance of good reading, good meditation, and listening. So how is that related to the topic, Father? I'll tell you. Often it happens that we say things that are either offensive, nonsensical, or maybe ridiculous, or superficial, or just downright dumb, because our mind is empty. Yeah. La mente hueca, vacía. Hello? I mean, for me it's a no-brainer. You don't have anything in your head, what's going to come out of your mouth? That's why you have so many chismosos. Comer cheese? No. That's why you have so many chismosos, is because they got nothing in their, they got nothing in their mind but telearañas. You know? It's a part of our charism of oblates. You got to get people to read. Good. Solid Catholic Christian literature, so that when you're talking with someone, you've got a vast store of knowledge in this human computer. Yeah. Otherwise, you open up your mouth, and my father would often say, noble people speak about ideas, ignoble people speak about people. My dad would teach us, yeah. Right, Dan? Good idea. Noble people speak about ideas. Ignoble people only speak about other people. So the importance of what is called permanent formation. Permanent formation in our faith. Don't professionals have to work on permanent formation? Yes? Doctors, lawyers. About 20 minutes ago I was talking with my older brother and my mother in Florida. And talked for about 20 minutes. And it's interesting that he's been a practicing doctor for 30 years. When I was on vacation with him, he said that he had to study and pass another test. Wouldn't you think that someone that's 65 years old, basta, enough with the tests? Wouldn't you think? And he's a graduate from Dartmouth, summa cum laude, Columbia. You ever hear those colleges? I mean, that's the best in the country, no? Why does he have to keep studying? Because if he makes a mistake as a doctor, hey, huge lawsuits. Most of his operations are operations that other doctors botched. It's called reparatory surgery, where the others, they made mistakes. And he has to redo the operation, and then he's got to see these line of lawyers and try to, go through it with them, shouldn't we be professional Catholics? Amen? Or are we called to be rinky-dink Catholics? Do you have in your bathroom wall, welcome to the rinky-dink club of the Catholic Society? No? So often, our speech is limited because we do not have depth as a person. Our mind is superficial. Pray to Aquinas, pray to Augustine, pray to John Paul II. These were great men because they were great thinkers. They put on, as Paul said, put on the mind of Christ. Then you have the mind of Christ. So I think a lot of our problems stem from the fact that we have to keep working on our permanent formation, in our intellectual formation in the Catholic faith. Amen? Amen, amen, huh? Then once you have a well-formed mind as a Catholic, then we start to talk about topics. You're able to open up your mouth and you're able to express yourself with clarity. Over Christmas break, someone talks about the whole idea of transgenderism. Can you defend the Church's position on traditional marriage? The topic of abortion surfaces. Can you defend the innocent child? One of your relatives says, well, I really believe that euthanasia is a good thing because people have a right to die with dignity. Are you just going to be mute? Are you going to try to defend that your elderly aunt who's got Alzheimer's? They say, well, it's okay, embryonic experimentation, because we're living in the United States in the year 2020. Can you tell them why embryonic experimentation is wrong? Someone says cloning is really good. Well, can you tell them why cloning is not good? These are all important moral topics that if we don't have a good formation, your relatives talk about them and there you are mute. And so that evil progress is sufficient that good men do nothing. Okay? I repeat. So that evil progress is sufficient that good men do nothing or say nothing. So we have to speak, but we have to be able to communicate the truth. And the last thing I'd like to say, because this topic fascinates me, the whole idea of speech, because the primary work of the priest is what? The ministry of the word. As Vatican II says, what are the primary duties of the priest? The two P's. Prayer and preaching. Yep. Presbyterian ordinance, okay? Prayer and preaching are the primary duties of the priest. I would add a three. Penance too. We've got to do a lot of penance. Okay? As Fulton Sheen says, the priest is the victim who offers the victim. The penance. Offer up penance for the many sins in the world. But this is the last point. Did the apostles really know Jesus Christ well during his 3 years on earth? Mas o menos. Menos que mas. No? They had moments of light, but also the moments of darkness. Do you remember when Jesus asked him who he was and Peter said, you're the Son of the living God? What happens right after that? Jesus says he's going to be crucified and Peter pulls him aside and begins to upbraid Jesus. Lord, that's not going to happen to you. Jesus calls him Satan. So there are moments of light, but also moments of darkness. When was it then that the apostles finally understood who Jesus was and was able to preach him with clarity, conviction? When the Holy Spirit descended upon them in the cenacle. So if we really want to speak well, we all have to have a Pentecost experience. We have to enter with the Blessed Virgin Mary in the cenacle, prayer and penance and silence, and not just praying 9 minutes, but praying 9 days. There you have the first Ignatian retreat, right, Gloria? And one day to it, right? So through prayer and penance and Mary and silence, we can have a new Pentecost in ourselves so that when we open up our mouths, we will not be hurting people, but will bring people closer to the purpose of their life, the salvation of their soul. Amen.